you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the first book of Kings, the 19th chapter. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 34 responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt his name forever. Look upon him and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. The angel of the Lord encompasses those who fear him, and he will deliver them.
Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading, a reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing, rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful in building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying,
Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
For the last couple weeks, Don and I have been blessed with the presence of Don's cousin, who's staying with us and helping Don do the painting and the repairs that are necessary on our new place so that we can move in this week. Well, those two cousins got to talking about the kind of cooking their grandmother used to do and the good German foods that they enjoyed as children. They were remembering with fondness such dishes as Blachinda and Spratzel, Kassnipfle, and Kuchen. I found an old church cookbook from a German congregation that I had worked in, and I looked up the recipe for Dampfnudler. No, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Dampfnudler. Just to see if I could make this. I can't even say it. I'm sure I couldn't make it. Well, the main ingredient in the dough for these noodles is lard. And once you get the dough made, then you fry it in lard. And then you put cream gravy on it. And guess what the cream gravy's made with? Lard. I could hear my arteries clogging as I read the recipe. You know, we don't eat like that anymore. We don't cook like that, that's for sure. We have learned the truth that you are what you eat. We want to be healthy and wholesome, so we eat healthy and wholesome foods and avoid things that aren't good for us, like Dampfnudler. Doesn't even sound good. There is a connection between what we eat and the rest of our lives. Food can be a gauge, like a thermometer, indicating what's going on with us. I had a theology teacher who would say that you could tell how people treat their friends by how they treat vegetables. She would size up a person just by watching him make a salad. She said, if you're rough with lettuce, you're rough with people. I think that's a little extreme. But it does seem that there is something in our relationship with food that says something about our relationship with other people. Certainly our relationship with ourselves, and maybe even our relationship with God. For example, some of us eat more when we're depressed. We have a tendency to try to fill up that emptiness in our hearts by filling up our stomachs. For the prophet Elijah, it was just the opposite. He was depressed, and he didn't want to eat. That first scripture reading that we heard from the book of Kings tells us all about the prophet Elijah. He was so depressed that he wanted to give up eating, just crawl underneath that broom tree and die. The great prophet Elijah, tired, broken, and depressed. I think he had his radio station tuned to a country station. He was calling in his request hour after hour, asking for that great Linda Ronstadt classic, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. Do you know this song? Lay my head on the railroad track, waiting for the double E. But that train don't go by here no more. Poor, poor, pitiful me. It's a pretty sad song, isn't it? Well, for a long time, Elijah's favorite song was Blessed Assurance. Or maybe There is a Balm in Gilead. Elijah knew the powerful presence of God in his life. He knew God within him. In fact, right before this story that we hear today, Elijah had stood before the hundreds of prophets of the god Baal and challenged them to a duel. Let's see whose God is better. And Elijah won. Elijah and his God beat out all of those hundreds of prophets of Baal. The people of Israel acclaimed, God is good, God is good. But the queen was not impressed. Queen Jezebel, in fact, lost all of her respect for Elijah. And she put out a wanted dead or alive announcement against him. And Elijah was now on the run. That's where we find him in the reading today. Even the local people of the country started talking against him. And it looked like there was nothing very hopeful in his future. You can imagine why he just wanted to hang it up. Seemed like that was the only option left for him. He had fought so hard and had so little to show for all of his hard work. What was the point of all this work and all this faithful living? What was there to do? Even his prayers seemed to go unanswered. Elijah thought, well, maybe if I go to Mount Horeb, God will hear my prayers there. But even now, that seemed to be too far. Elijah didn't have the energy. He was just too tired, too depressed to take even one more step. He found a broom tree, and all he wanted to do was just curl up and die. Well, at least curl up and sleep. God doesn't give up on us nearly as easily as we give up on God. God came to Elijah under the broom tree. When Elijah thought that he'd had enough of God and enough of life, God showed him that God did not yet have enough of Elijah. God sent an angel to him. The word angel in Hebrew simply means messenger. Sometimes that messenger is used to describe the presence of God. And sometimes God's messengers were human beings who carried out God's will. We don't have to think of the messenger as some winged creature in a white flowing dress. The messenger could just as easily be a faithful person, a servant of God, who was led to that particular place to minister to Elijah. Angels and miracles are not just fantastic and unexplainable, not just supernatural events. Sometimes miracles are simply how God is meeting us in our time of need. The story of Elijah doesn't go into detail and explain just how God took care of his depressed prophet, Elijah. But clearly, God did take care of Elijah. I've never seen a vision of angels. I've never had a face-to-face encounter with one of those winged creatures in a white flowing dress. But there have been many times in my life when I have encountered a messenger from God who has met me in my time of need and given me nourishment. The angel provides food and drink for Elijah and says, get up and eat. Not once, but twice this food is provided. And when he eats, the food is enough. Elijah does not die. He has enough energy and strength to continue his journey. He has enough to go on. He has been given hope. Joan Chittister, a contemporary theologian, has written a number of books about hope. It's one of her favorite themes. Let me share this paragraph from one of her books. Hope is not a matter of waiting for things outside to get better. It's about getting better inside, about what's going on inside. It's about becoming open to the God of newness. It's about allowing ourselves to let go of the present, to believe in the future we cannot see, but trust to God. We always think of hope as grounded in the future. Chittister goes on to say, I think that's wrong. Hope is filled with the future. Hope is fulfilled in the future. But it depends on our ability to remember that, like the prophet, we have survived everything in life to this point and have emerged even better than we were before our troubles began. So why not in this latest situation, too? Then we hope because we have no reason not to hope. Hope is what sits by the window and waits for one more dawn, despite the fact that there isn't an ounce of proof in tonight's black, black sky that it can possibly come. Isn't that a good line? Hope is what sits by the window and waits for one more dawn, despite the fact that there isn't an ounce of proof in tonight's black, black sky that it can possibly come. Hope is an angel, a messenger. One angel that I knew is a guy by the name of Mike. He was an angel and a messenger for his friend Pat. Now, Pat was a faithful member of the congregation. She and her husband came weekly to worship. They were members of the Sunday night Bible study, and they were often at the daily prayer services at church. They both taught Sunday school, and they were willing chaperones for any kind of youth group activities. And all of a sudden, they dropped out of everything. They even stopped coming to Sunday worship and to Bible study. Pat was depressed, Mike was told, when he asked the husband what was wrong, when he asked about their absence. There were so many things that were going on that just weren't right. Their teenage daughter was pregnant, and the boyfriend was someone that the parents didn't want their daughter to date, much less marry. Their foster child, also a teenager, was in trouble at school and in trouble with the law. Pat was having some physical troubles that doctors were having a difficulty diagnosing, and there seemed to be no end to the bills and the financial worries that they had. And the list just seemed to go on and on. One trouble after another sunk Pat deeper and deeper into depression. But Mike, the angel, the messenger, didn't wait for Pat to come back to worship and back to the involvement that had once been hers. Mike kept going to Pat. Once or twice a week, he would stop by her office with a cup of coffee, maybe take the church bulletin by. He'd stop by her house with a bag of vegetables from his garden. He would call often and just see how things were going. He offered prayer, offered support, listened to both Pat and her husband, and he didn't give up. When he was told, that's okay, you don't have to come by, he kept coming by. He kept visiting, he kept paying attention, and he kept praying. Eventually, Pat did come back to church. She even came back to Sunday night Bible study. Her problems did not go away. but she was encouraged and inspired by Mike's faithfulness. He was her angel. Through Mike, God came to Pat. God provided food for the journey, and she was able to keep going on. Somebody believed in her goodness. God provided food for Elijah. God provided food for Pat. God provides food for us, for our journey. God provides the food of Scripture, the food of communion, the food of messengers who touch us and become our source of strength and encouragement, a source of encouragement for us on our daily journey. There are angels in our lives who are visible signs of God's love for us. The food of messengers touches us and becomes sacrament for us, a visible sign of God's love for us. If it's true that we are what we eat, then we have eaten God's food, and we are of God. Not because of what we do or what we've earned, not measured by our successes or our failures, not by what we've done, but by who we are, God's children. We are the precious children of God, and God feeds us, gives us enough sustenance for us to get up and keep on the journey, continue on the journey. If it's true that we are what we eat, then we have eaten the body of Christ, and we are of Christ. We heard in today's gospel, Jesus said to them, to us, "I am the bread of life." You and I have shared in this bread of life, and we are to be that bread for others. When you reach out your hand to receive communion and you hear the words, "the body of Christ given for you," these words are not just descriptive of what you hold in your hand. The body of Christ is not just the bread that you are receiving. The words, "the body of Christ," is also descriptive of you, what we receive, and who we are. You are the body of Christ given for others. That's why we say amen when we receive communion. It means, "I believe. I believe this is the body of Christ, and I believe that I am the body of Christ as well." Luther said that we must be little Christs for one another, offering food and nourishment and hope. We are the body of Christ for one another. We are what we eat. Maybe this is a frightening thought, but it's also good news. God has given us the food for the journey, and it will be enough. God provides for us good food that will nourish us on our journey. As we prayed in the psalm, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord." Are you feeling some hunger pains in your life? Do you ever feel like you don't have the energy to continue on this journey? Maybe it's time for you to hear the words of that angel, "Get up and eat." God has provided for you. There is food all around, especially right here. The people who are sitting in this sanctuary. This place is filled with angels, with messengers of God. But all we have to do is be open. Do you sometimes shoo away the angel? There have been times in my life when I have said thanks but no thanks to help that's offered. Maybe it's come in a form that I didn't expect or in a way that I don't really want it to come. Don't shoo away the angels that God has given. Being the body of Christ is not always easy. St. Paul knew that. And that's why he is so insistent that Christian life demands radical changes. As we heard in the reading today, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. No, that isn't an easy command. And that's why we shouldn't try to do it all by ourselves. That's why God has given us angels to assist us, food to nourish us, and hope to sustain us. The world is filled with angels to help. Paul said, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love." Martin Luther said, "Be little Christs for one another to feed and nourish and give hope." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen.